From Kankakee to Kokomo, along comes Luke, moving free and slow. He takes 4 foot strides, he's lean and he's tall. He's the kind of a guy who wants it all. In a bus station or a train depot, along comes Luke, moving free, moving slow. Well, he can be shooting craps, or playing pool, or having a beer on an old bar stool, on a hotel porch, wondering where to go. Along comes Luke, moving free, moving slow. Drinking coffee in an old night diner, Florida, Georgia, or North Carolina. High in the smoke, he's in the wind and the snow. Along comes Luke, moving free and slow. Well, he likes his women every now and again, but settling down just ain't for him. This guy called Luke, well, he really gets around, and ain't nothing on earth gonna tie this boy down. So anywhere in this land you go, along comes Luke, moving free, moving slow. Now you're gonna see Luke one of these days. You'll recognize him when he comes your way. Just about anywhere the four winds blow, along comes Luke, moving free, moving slow. Yes, along comes Luke, moving free, moving slow.
Welcome to Border Boss, episode 34. I didn't think we'd ever make it to 34, and I don't know if we'll make it to 40. Because I got my Xbox code today.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know what that means. That first of all, it means that I just ate 11,000 calories. I expected to just grab a few bites of it, you know, like I was just, well, you know, it's $5. So I'll eat what I want and it'll still be $5 worth of food, you know, like if I just eat the taco and a few bites of the ridiculous thing, that's, you know, that's $5. But I didn't. I just sat down and mowed the whole fucking thing down, including the cinnamon twists, which I never eat. So that coupled with the fact that I'm guaranteed to win an Xbox tonight means that I'm just going to bloat up to heart attack inducing size. And we're not getting anywhere near episode 40. Do you think is this the last episode before Thanksgiving?
It's so hard to figure out because our recording schedule is different than our releasing schedule. Yes, this should be the last. This will be the last Border Boss satellite episode before Thanksgiving.
Like some behind the scenes is that we record both Border Boss Classique and All Holes Filled at the same time, and then I just take my time releasing that shit. Just time release like a caplet. So this is it. If any Thanksgiving thoughts you got on your chest, you're gonna have to get them out this episode. I don't have any because I don't care about Thanksgiving that much. But
no, gonna be probably making some Thanksgiving themed recipes over at Retro Food Ghoul on the Instagram. But outside of that, I don't really have much else to say about Thanksgiving. This is the first Thanksgiving in a very long time that I don't have to go home for, which I'm kind of excited by. That means I get to choose the food. I'm finally the grown up. I get to choose the food. And
you're the pilot.
I'm the captain now.
Did you cook a lot before you decided to be a retro food ghoul?
Oh no, God no. No. I don't really care about the taste cause it's gonna not be good. So this is more like an art project for me. This is just another medium of art for me.
It seems like you're going for it though. Like, when I cook a lot, but I'm not like a mom. I'm not good. I can't just go into the kitchen and open cupboards and start making food. Like, I'm a mess, and when I see videos of people who have the little ramekins of all their ingredients organized and they make something delicious, I can't do that. Everything I do is a mess, and I have to stick to really slab-like basics. And then when I'm done, there's 700 pots and pans. And this is every day of my life because I have to make food for a child now. So it's got to be real food, you know?
Yeah.
I can't handle it. So, you know, when I watch your videos, they kind of look like you got it together, even though you're making, you know, possibly inedible stunt food.
The video aspect of it helps that a lot for me because now I'm not only a cook, I'm a director. Yeah. And I have to plan these shots out ahead of time because I only get one shot, just like Eminem. I only get one shot to record this because once the ingredient's in there, it's in there. So I'm no pro. I don't know the other names. I'm no Tasty. Is that the name of the big one? That Tasty Made or whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. I'm no Tasty Made. I don't have thousands of ingredients on hand just in case I fuck up. So
and you don't have like a ukulele song playing behind your.
Yeah,
I actually have never turned it on. Is there sound? I've never.
Yeah, there's there's like kind of like light, like real hip hop beats, like soulful, like you know,
real hip hop.
Yeah, just like that. Yeah, that kind of like poetry cafe hip hop sort of stuff under it.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, the editing software comes with a bunch of public domain mm-hmm. songs, and those are the only real tolerable ones. I would like to get a really ridiculous song to put under it because I know only like two people listen to the video songs, but
I used to be a little bit more active with my egg Instagram account, the Porter yeah. Boss Egg Instagram, and one of my favorite things was to go to the farmer's market and get the Scotch eggs that most of my friends will know about. And then try and play like a different weird song in the background while I ate it. even though like a lot of people probably don't even hear it.
Yeah.
It's not really how you use Instagram. You just kind of like scan through. But I would always try and, but I'm using the phone that I'm using for Instagram to play the music. And, you know, once they updated it to a certain point, it doesn't work anymore. So I was trying to do it. And then I was ending up like having Bluetooth troubles to get the song to play while recording at the same time. And that's it. So now when you hear it, if it's just me like grunting and, you know, straining to, you know, and the background sounds, it's because I can't do what I want to do anymore. I can't put the soundtrack there anymore. My art is suffering. So this week, friend of the show, occasional co-host Sarah, will sometimes send ads that she thinks are mistargeted, like they are either for me or Wealth. Like she gets targeted with things that are for me or Wealth all the time. Our friend Wealth. And one of them was like a Jimmy Dean breakfast sandwich where the whole thing, it's almost like a double down, but it's all eggs.
Yeah.
So it's like two frittatas with meat in the middle. And she doesn't eat any of that stuff and they targeted her with that. And I was like, you know, motherfuckers, I've been doing that for years. I've been taking a handful of eggs and ramen meat in the middle of it for years because, you know, I'm a low carb dude, or I try to be. And now because I have to drop my daughter off at daycare in the morning, I'm like on the run. So I'm super ramming eggs and food, like just nude eggs with meat stuffed in the middle into my hands. And I did some research this week or over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, I could tell you that Stewart's, Dunkin' Donuts, Taco Bell, Burger King and Panera are all pretty gross for this. Dunkin' Donuts of that pack leads. Like, they have probably the best. But really, guess who the winner is?
For eggs?
For just, if you just want to, like, throw out whatever bun they give you and just hold greasy nude eggs and meat in your hand and then eat that. Who do you think is the winner of the big names?
Man, I think the most recent one I've had was Wendy's, but I don't remember it being overly great. But I would yeah. just say Wendy's just because they have a good track record.
Wendy's doesn't do breakfast around here, so I can't confirm or deny.
Oh, okay.
But McDonald's.
Yeah, McDonald's. I would always say yeah. that's the one thing they've always excelled in is breakfast.
It is so good. It is so like
yeah.
I kind of like gotten away from it for a while because like yeah, I don't want to eat that. But I was driving around and they have this thing. It's kind of like a meat-normous sandwich. It's like a triple something.
Yeah, I saw a review for that. Yeah, yeah.
They put all the animals that they serve yeah. into one sandwich on an egg. And, you know, I don't know, it's probably $11 or whatever. But I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what I want because it's got it all. And I bought that and I'm eating it. I'm like, this is delicious. It's not adequate. It's not like, okay, it's really good. Like the cheese they use, the egg, if you get the McMuffin egg, the round one,
It sounds like we got a new sponsor. This is gonna be Golden Arch Boss in a little while.
It's really good. Like I said, man, this is like I want to get up and go get one. You know, I was just surprised. I was just surprised because you think of McDonald's as being kind of a fuck up. You know, the joke of the nation. But it's the real deal for breakfast anyway. You know.
I'm just glad we are done living in the shadow of the Super Size Me documentary, and we're getting back into monster Frankenfoods and fast food places. But yeah, I think because McDonald's had to be the first fast food place to do breakfast, so they've had the longest.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have to do an episode sometime about the history. It'll just be us looking up Wikipedia articles about who made the first breakfast sandwich. Our friend and ex-drummer. I'll say he's my drummer in my heart for life. Aaron sent me an article about something that I since we rebooted Border Boss, I always forget to talk about this. And we've had a couple episodes where we talk about like forgotten things or like long lost items or something like that. And I never bring this up, even though this is my actual number one, the chili cheese burrito. Chili cheese burrito. They brought all the things that they brought back. The petitions to bring back that stupid Frito burrito. All the other stuff that's going on. A chili cheese burrito is one of the best things that Taco Bell has ever made. And you can't get it. Like only certain restaurants. It's just like Golden Goose if you find it or something like that. Like every now and then there'll be a restaurant that just serves one. And he sent me this whole article on it, and you know how rare it is, and how it's not even that big a deal. But because it takes one ingredient that they just don't have, you can't get it. The chili cheese burrito is delicious because it's got chili, which is different than I could just go and have some of that sloppy beef put onto a cheese burrito or something like that.
Yeah,
it's going to be good, but it's not going to be a chili cheese burrito. He sent me this article where I kind of knew about this, but I forgot about it. It's really blossomed. There's a tracker. It's like this Google map tracker where it's like a really polluted looking map of little pointers that tell you, where you can supposedly get chili cheese burritos in America. And it's really sketchy. The map sucks. You click on something and it says like three people say that you can get a chili cheese burrito at this location, but four people say you can't. So what the fuck is with that? It's like Waze or something like that. It's like what is with the argument that's going on at this place? It seems like it's either there or it's not. But this thing, it's like if you want to find it, it's chilicheese.org. And if you live near...
Wow, that was free. Domain was free.
Yeah, chilicheese.org was free. They got it. And it's like a really, like whoever put this together, they put some time into this. This is a real website. It's got actual graphic design. It's got some actual programming behind it.
So, yeah. It's just some dedicated person, I assume.
Yeah. I think it's a dedicated team.
Yeah. All that stuff. I mean, that's the same as the secret menus where people are like, yeah, just say this and they'll do it. No one's going to do that shit.
Yeah. No one's going to do that shit. So you sent me a couple links this week.
Yeah. Speaking of things no one's going to do.
So, I mean, I guess we're probably almost done with Border Boss. We're probably almost done bothering with Border Boss because I feel like I keep seeing things like this. It's kind of like going hand in hand with the cantina, you know, the cantina thing and Taco Bell weddings and the merch that they're selling now. You know, it's becoming something else. It's not the underground Taco Bell appreciation that we're used to. You know, this is getting really mainstream. But they're offering a party package.
Yeah.
For $25. And this looks, you know, $25 for the pile of stuff they give you. No food, but for $25 they'll like, you don't get the private place though, right? You just get like a box of stuff to party with or something.
Well, there's two options. There's one where they doll it up with all that stuff. There's like going to be a designated area at these select Taco Bells. And then there is another one if you can't, because it's only like 8 Taco Bells or something. If you can't do this in real life, you can just mail order the shit and have your own Taco Bell party.
Well, I guess I should probably do at least that part.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's basically like you're an adult, but you're doing that McDonald's birthday party where they would like, you know, cordon off a section of the restaurant for you to have your.
But just to be clear for those those at home who can't see the website and won't go to it, they make this look like the people that used to be in the old Newport ads. Like it's just like like the people you would never see at Taco Bell in your entire life partying at Taco Bell. And it's just like that's how Newport ads, where they would feature people who would never smoke a Newport in their lives. And
the beach, being healthy, like breathing clean air. But
fucking parasailing, smoking a Newport. It's kind of like that, but with Taco Bell.
Yeah, these people are there dressed up in their actual like prom party gear or whatever, and smiling the greatest, hugest smiles I've ever seen, looking down and not looking at the party swag, looking down at just the taco.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Can you believe this? There's a taco here. But you're not going to get that taco for your $25. You're going to get, you know, just a bunch of like basically cardboard party favors. They're kind of like lame looking party favors. But of course, I'm going to buy some of these. I'm wondering what's in. There's like a little pile of things in the middle of the party favors that look like they almost look like condoms. But yeah, I mean, like, I feel like this is sort of a sign that, you know, the thing that they're embracing, this goofy, like, Liv Moss, I don't even know how to put it, but the, like you said, like the Newport ad version of Taco Bell, maybe it might be taking me out of it. They might have just taken me out of even giving a shit about Taco Bell.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, out of the 8 places I think that are listed, I have sort of experience with 2 of them, and one of them is in New York, and it's basically like right near Times Square. Yeah. No one's going to go have a fucking Taco Bell party near Times Square in New York. And the other one's in Cleveland, which is not like, I don't know, you don't imagine beautiful Newport ad people showing up to Cleveland to do parties. So I don't know.
Last time I was in Cleveland is where Touch of Class is, right? That's where.
Like, now that's Class.
Oh, now that's Class. Now that's Class. Yeah. So my band played the final, forgive me, the final anal cunt show. Now that's Class. And as we were sitting outside, a woman just sat down across from my guitarist and just started yelling at him that he was fat. You fat fuck. And he just looked over at me like, what's happening here? So, Cleveland.
Yeah.
And speaking of parties, they are also having job parties. Like Taco Bell is having some sort of job parties. And this, if this actually goes nationwide, this might just be something I show up to. I might just go to this.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you. I don't know if I would go, but I think this is a really good idea.
Yeah, so basically they're having like a Taco Bell. So, you know, how big is a Taco Bell? Like, how many people do you think a Taco Bell employs? Like 20 tops or something like that? But they're having these job fairs at the actual restaurants or whatever, where they're bringing in like scores of people, like 70, 80 people at a time to interview, and you get swag and food, and you get to play games. You get to go to this thing and have, you know, it's like some sort of management retreat thing.
Yeah.
Where people do trust falls and stuff like that, except it's interviewing for a job at Taco Bell. And I think it's just normal jobs. I don't think this is like, there's a line in here that says something like, you know, we I think we had 73 people come in, 40 of them were perfect fits.
Yeah. Yeah.
What does that mean? I'm a perfect fit for Taco Bell. Jesus.
See, I think that's the downside of this is I think the people that are applying for jobs like Taco Bell are not the ones to be on top of job fairs and stuff like that. So it's kind of like scheduling. Yeah, it's I don't know how you find out about this, and just, you know, being like, oh, I have to be at Taco Bell at 10 a.m. in 2 weeks or whatever it is. Seems like a lot of work when Taco Bell is traditionally a place you can just go and fucking sign a job application and probably get the job. So
that day.
Yeah, that day.
Something that I don't know if I've mentioned this on Border Boss before. An actual dream I've always had is to have a Taco Bell job. You know, like a night job. You know,
yeah.
And this was more when I was single, had a lot of and had more free time and more just, you know, lifestyle latitude. And I was, you know, so I was like, you know, if I could get that nighttime Taco Bell job, that would be great. It's a little bit of an odd experience, and I'd eat for free. I assume you eat for free, and I was eating there 3 times a day anyway, so who cares? Like, that's one of my meals would be free, and then just in exchange for what? You know, 5-6 hours worth of toil and degradation? No big deal. So I'm just wondering, you know, Border Boss RIP on Twitter and Instagram, BorderBossEternal@gmail.com. Has anyone ever done like that low grade of a side hustle? like you're okay, you're employed, or you're doing, you know, you're doing something else, like whether it's good or bad, you have a main thing, but you decided you're gonna go, you know, sweep floors at Walmart or just do something else to, you know, for an experience, or, you know, because you're bored or because you don't sleep at night. Let me know. Like, how does this pan out for you? Get at me and tell me what that's like. Cause it's a legit dream of mine. Like, it hasn't gone away with time. And this job fair has just really rekindled that fire. I'm like, I'm going to go to this fair. They're going to give me a fidget spinner and a free, you know, a free Apple Freeze or something like that. And then they're going to tell me that I'm a good fit. Of course I'm a fucking good fit. Like, I'm definitely Taco Bell material. I could, like, slam dunk that job. It's not a question.
I always fantasize about doing that too, because it seems like, you know, I've said this before, but my favorite job ever is working at Pizza Hut, because it was just like fucking off all day. But that's where the problem lies, is that you're still a teen and you're still, like, kind of afraid of authority, I guess.
Yeah,
like, you're afraid something bad will actually happen to you. And I was barely afraid back then, but now it's, you know, the first time somebody gets an attitude with me, that's the end of the job. So it's just kind of like, you know, I'm an adult. I'm not going to take somebody browbeating me that's ordering fucking Taco Bell. That's for sure. So yeah, it would have to be a non-customer dealing with a job, I think.
I feel like context is everything. And if you're not actually, like, if your life doesn't depend on it, that kind of shifts the whole window over, like a whole unit. It just shifts the whole thing over a whole unit. And if you can go in there with the attitude, like it's like facing Freddy Krueger. He's just a dream. He can't hurt you. You know? So if you go to work every day, like, this is just my weird proclivity that I want to have this job. It can't actually hurt me. Like, that manager has no real authority and no power over me. I could walk from this anytime. The customers that are in there, they don't know what I do during the day, so they can spit on me all they want. Like, I can hold my head high because I know that I'm a doctor from 8 in the morning till 5 o'clock at night.
I just moonlight at Taco Bell.
I just moonlight at Taco Bell because I want to eat for free.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, that's my vision, but I, you know, everything, you know, when you're actually there with the boot on your neck.
Yeah,
who knows? I
wouldn't care. Yeah, the coworkers, the manager, I wouldn't care. But once a customer was like, "Listen, asshole," or said something to me, that would be the end. I'm just gonna throw fucking taco meat out at him, probably. But
I'll definitely be at the one that gets robbed with real guns, and I just get shot at my shit job.
You're just doing for a laugh.
I actually forgot all about this. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but our listener Pierce from Kissing Contest days, and now he's Border Boss's listener Pierce.
That's right.
We got him. He's ours. He wrote us a very pleasant. He writes us. He was fighting with Joe Hawk.
Yeah.
Okay. So his emails to Kissing Contest were adversarial and combative with listener Joe Hawk. Not us. He doesn't bother using us as a conduit for warfare and aggression. He just sends us really nice emails. So I'm not going to read it, because, you know, I don't know if it kills his personal brand because he's in hardcore bands. Maybe it'll sully him. But he wrote us a very pleasant email. You know, it's very nice. But what he says is that, you know, he's very excited by this Xbox thing, and he thinks everyone's going to get an Xbox, that this is just easy as shit. You know, other than the fact that you have to, you know, eat that box. That he said last time they did this, everyone was walking away with a PlayStation. It was totally unreal, and this is it. Like, we're all getting Xboxes. I hope he's right. And
I'm about to buy like $60 worth of these boxes when we're done recording.
You know, what else am I gonna do? You know, like, it's only gonna be around for a month. So if I go every day, drop $5, see if I can.
It's like playing the lotto, basically, for an Xbox.
Who cares? He says. He told me that you can go to winxbox.com to get codes as well. So if your stomach isn't up to it, your wallet isn't up to it. I don't know what happens if I click that link. It's like an actual link in the email. So if I click on it, if I become a lawnmower man.
So is Pierce one of these Xboxes already? Does he have the inside track?
If, you know, if he's won one of these and he hadn't led with that in the email, like, hey, Xbox winner here, Xbox winner Pierce here. So the good news this week is that you provided me both the opening song and the closing song. I'm not doing any work this week at all.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna I'm not going to open a single program. I'm not even going to edit this episode. Whatever I say by whatever racist thing I say by accident, it stays because you gave me a couple songs. You even gave me cover art. I don't have to do shit because this is cigarette news. It's the first cigarette news since the reboot and first cigarette news in over a year.
Yes.
So let me know what you got.
Okay.
I don't hear a fucking word. Light a cool, light a berry, crack a new port box. I'll even bum a GPC if those are all the fuck you got. It's just this cigarette news is about to begin.
So yeah, this is cigarette news. I had to bring it back just because everybody loves the theme song. This is the number one platinum hit by the Border Boss.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know, he does all the music himself, Scott over here. So, and this is the number one hit, cigarette news. But, about a month ago, listener Travis, who has supported basically all of my endeavors for like the past 10 years, he and probably the only man that I know that has more of an interest in weird, old, mysterious garbage than we do. So he sent me a 45 in the mail. That's a record for young people. It's a tiny record.
It's not a 7-inch.
It's not a 7-inch. It's a 45. Although this 45 is played on 33 1/3 speed. So I guess it is a 7-inch. But yeah. Either way, it's called The Ballad of Luke. And it's a promotional. This is promo only. This is in a for sale record. It's a promotional item for Luke Filter Cigarettes, which I never heard of. Yeah. This is from 1973, so naturally the first thing I did was Google The Ballad of Luke Cigarettes, blah, 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 and it is incredibly hard to find any news about Luke Cigarettes on the internet.
They just disappeared, this brand, man. Like, whatever went wrong, and I think, I'll bet this is more than just Luke. I'll bet it's like every time that the cigarette doesn't take off, RJ Reynolds disappears that brand. They like it's the knock in the night, and that thing goes with a bag on its head to its grave, and you never hear from it again or whatever.
So the second thing I did was Google, you know, The Ballad of Luke. There's no audio of this on the internet. There is a Discogs page.
There wasn't any audio of this on the internet.
Yes,
but there's we'll be fixing that shit.
Yes, it's a second Border Boss production is going to be this the 7-inch record. So yeah, there's a Discogs page. And it's very bare. This record has never been sold on Discogs, ever. People have it for sale. It's just no one's ever bought it. No one cares about it. So there's not a lot of information about it. So what I could call is, you know, after I was like, oh, there's nothing on there, I listened to the song. It's the same. It's basically the same lyrics. And it's basically the Ballad of Luke 1 is sung by Ken Carson, who is... I looked it up, and he is a guy who replaced Roy Rogers in his old-timey country band fucking 400 years ago. So he's kind of just like a studio guy that didn't really do much in the country world. But it's like a traditional early 1970s era country song. It's pretty straightforward. It's, it's just the song for this, I guess, the cigarette campaign that they were hoping would be successful. Although it's a 2-minute song, so I don't think it's going to be in the commercial. But I guess, you know, I was thinking since it's promo only, they probably gave this to radio stations to play on the radio.
Yeah.
And probably not a lot of people played it. And but the second side is by Ed Lubinsky, who has had very little success at all in
it doesn't sound
this
like
world.
A country name. Lubinsky no. doesn't sound very country at all.
I looked it up. He's done commercial jingles. He had like one other very minor novelty song. And but this song is a little more sleazy. This is like a sleazier country song. It's, it's down. It's like fucking down. And I want to say funky. I'll get into it, but
it's like it's more like outlaw country or something. It's definitely like darker.
But basically, so what little information we found about these cigarettes is that they were just kind of a failed cigarette that was, Marlboro was like the hot shit back then. So there's a bunch of companies that are like, we're going to make or the new version of Marlboro, because they had the Marlboro Man, who's like this big tough cowboy.
Yeah.
And whatever, I forgot the name of it, but Scott showed me one, and the packaging was denim, not actual denim, but it was a denim print on the packaging to just show how manly those cigarettes were.
Was it was like a name like Josh?
Yeah. It was like, just like, it was another
Zach,
name. That
was
just,
it Zach?
Yeah, I think it was Zach Cigarettes, actually. Zach. And it was Zach Cigarettes. And it was, yeah, it was just like the packaging, like where the front of a cigarette packaging, like where the Marlboro would be, it's just like the back pocket of jeans.
It's an
and
ass.
It's just an ass of jeans. And so I'm thinking, I'm like, this cigarette's called Luke. It's kind of weird for a fucking cigarette. The cover of this 7-inch is just a man walking all in a Canadian tuxedo, all denim, with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth and a suitcase. And then I start listening to the lyrics of this song, and I'm like, I think Luke may have folded because these cigarettes sound super gay. And it's 1973 when it's not 2018. I don't think people were ready for a closeted gay cigarette. And just to read you a sample, the last few lines of this song is, where are we? Well, he likes women now and again, but settling down just ain't for him. This guy called Luke really gets around. Yeah. There ain't nothing on earth gonna tie this boy down. So it's pretty clear, clean cut case for me why the cigarette brand went out of business, because it was and also another theory I had is that the cover, and actually I was listening to it right before we started, the Battle of Luke number 2, the little down and dirtier one, has a little flourishes of the song in it, but I think this is like kind of based off of Midnight Cowboy, which, yeah, again, if you guys are young and you've never seen that movie, is about a tough, like, kind of cowboy man that goes to New York City to be a gigolo, but he's just kind of like a closeted gay dude. And this the cover of this album, or the 7-inch, and even there's little guitar flourishes in the second version that has the Everybody's Talking at Me feel to it.
Yeah.
So I really think, and the years line up. I mean, it's a few years later, but it's still Midnight Cowboy 69-70. This is 73. So I think, you know, they were like, we need to make a cigarette for closeted gay gigolos. And we're going to call it Luke. Yeah. And I don't know. This is, I don't have like a point to this. It's just like a very interesting piece of affirmia, or affirma, how you ever you say that.
Yeah.
I'm really glad Travis sent it to me, and I hope you guys hear it, and I hope you like it, and I hope you know, we bring a light, or whatever you would call it, to Luke Cigarettes, and maybe there will be more information coming forward on the internet by Luke smokers back in the day. Maybe we have some old 50-60-year-old listeners that smoked Luke back in the day. I think, right, even
it's like it's their Crystal Pepsi. They remember that, yeah, one week in 69 when they were smoking Luke cigarettes.
Yeah. I think even, yeah, my mom was too young to be smoking Luke cigarettes. So yeah, I don't know. But if anybody has any stories, I don't know if you have anything to add, Scott.
No, I mean, like, make sure you just give the song a listen, because it doesn't end with that line. It's not like there's nothing opaque about it. Like, the song is like, he's 6'4", he's lean and sweet, and he walks real slow, and he's, you know, it's like
there's
it's,
a scan, it'll singer, probably be in
the singer is admiring Luke quite hard in the, yeah, context of the song.
Well, I mean, we'll probably put in the YouTube video, we'll put, there's the back cover is the lyrics, so you, yeah, can sing along at home too. It's
yeah,
it's just but you know, again, if anybody out there knows of any other cigarette companies ever doing anything like this, like coming out with a 45, please let me know, because I would love to start a collection of cigarette 45s. I'm gonna look this up now. I'm gonna actually do some research.
That would be a really, like, I was telling Mike when we were talking about this that I was thinking, like, maybe I'll just collect promotional 7-inches, but
yeah,
that's a wide net to cast. So saying I'm gonna collect promotional cigarette 7-inches only, you'll have that collection. You'll have that. Like, that's going to come quick.
Yeah.
That can't be a whole,
yeah,
lot.
It's probably like 10, man. I don't know, though, because cigarettes were cool, like, you know, the prime record years. So there might be a whole world of these that I don't know about.
God. And it's real music. Like, this is, yeah, I mean, it's not really good, but it's definitely like they gave it their best shot with this song.
Yeah. So these guys are jobbers, but this is real music. This isn't fucking bullshit commercial music.
VRTL pros on Twitter and Instagram, let Mike know if you were sitting on a golden pile of cigarette sandwiches. So this week, one of the things that I just wanted to talk about, and I don't know if, like, I decide I'm just going to freeform it, because, you know, usually I'll try and come up with a list. Not this week, man. I'm tired. I'm fucked up. I'm, like, falling apart. And I'm not doing any studying. I'm not doing any homework. I'm just showing up with whatever's in my pockets. And I thought once upon a time I used to do a segment on Border Boss that I sort of called the irreproducible crucible of shit, which was an outline of the gross places that I used to eat with my friend Jay all the time. Because we go to the same places over and over and over and over, and we'd eat so much food. I don't understand it. I was definitely a fat kid, but I wasn't as fat as I should have been. So something was going right with my body, even though it was so wrong. Something was going very right with my body to keep me from being like actually 400 pounds. Cause we would go to buffets. We'd go to, you know, Burger King and then go to someplace else. You know, we were eating. We were definitely like hogging down food. And, I feel like we did a lot of gross stuff. So I was, you know, talking to Mike and saying, well, did you do specific gross things when you were young? Did you go to the food court and do this and that? And I think a lot of the stuff that you do like that, is, you know, for several reasons, but one of them is just that you did it once and that becomes a habit. You know, like the first time that you're like, well, I think hot sauce is better on pizza. People put hot sauce on their pizza, but that's not really that good. It's just you did it once and it was different. And that made you think that that was okay. When I was young, I don't know if you guys, I'm sure, like everybody had pizza day at their school, right? Yeah. Our pizza day for some reason came with giant thick cheese sticks, not mozzarella, not anything related. They were just like yellow and white, you know, government cheese sticks. That was part of pizza, like pizza day. You got this big, thick, disgusting, like it wasn't good. I never liked it. Even though like, all kids should love pizza. I never liked our school pizza. It was gross. It was like sub Elio's. It was well below any of the microwave pizzas or whatever, but they gave you these big cheese sticks and everybody would break the cheese stick up and ram the pieces of cheese into the top of the pizza and eat it that way.
Yeah, your school is really at fault for this. This is a stupid idea.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal was, but everyone did this. So one kid did it once, then the rest of us did it, and then we all thought that this was like this improved the pizza somehow. It didn't. It was gross. It didn't get any better, and it was weird that you're hitting like a literal ounce of cold cheese every once in a while. It's in a cube that doesn't relate to the pizza at all. But it was a habit that we all had, so it was something that we did that was gross. And I think that you kind of get into those habits when you're young. Maybe even not when you're young, maybe when you're older. So, did you have any kind of habits like that, Mike?
Yeah, I wish I did, man, but I've been pretty meat and potatoes, pun intended, for food habits.
Yeah.
Like there's just you know, when I was really little, I'd eat like raw ramen, but that's not really that crazy. Or, you know, I would fucking melt American cheese on tortilla chips or crackers, just, you know, real dumb kid shit. But I don't know, when I got old enough to really let my hair down and do real weird shit, I never really did anything that crazy with food. Like I was saying to you, a lot of my prime teen years I was vegetarian, so yeah. I didn't even get to do any like real gross stuff. But like I said to you, the wildest shit I would do was be an idiot and get a Big Mac without the burger, which is, right. Again, young people out there, you don't know this pain because you can go to anywhere on earth and get a vegetarian meal. Right. But, back then this seemed like a sensible thing to just order a Big Mac and tell them to hold the meat and then eat that gross sauce and their shitty lettuce and cheese, their weird processed cheese as a meal.
And most people would stuff French fries into it.
Yeah, French fries too.
They had a button for it. Like, it was so common to be a vegetarian and go to Burger King,
yeah,
of all places. Like, everybody did this. Everybody who was not vegans, they couldn't do it, but everybody who was vegetarian, it was extraordinarily common to go to Burger King and get the BK veggie. They called, you'd call it, it was before there was actually, there's actually a veggie burger at Burger King that, if you go in there and you want to do what we're talking about, I think they still have a button for it, but you really have to talk them through it. It's off the map now. It's a secret menu stuff. But once upon a time, it was totally common, and you could go to the most bumpkin, redneck, you know, swamp hillbilly BK on earth, and you could ask for the BK veggie, and they would give you a bun, lettuce, you know, mayo, ketchup, mustard, and you know, cheese if you wanted it. Like, and it was like $3.
Yes.
So you're paying like Whopper prices for this thing. And you would order some fries and stuff it in there. And it was such a habit to do this that I would do it at other places too. So like the food court of my college, I would order, the quote unquote veggie burger from a place that actually served a veggie burger. Like they actually had a veggie burger. It's like, no, I don't want that shit. I want my, traditional chip buddy, basically. It's basically, I think people, if we have any British listeners, I believe this is something you do on purpose.
Yes.
Because
you make a poor person sandwich.
Yeah. You make a poor person sandwich, the chip buddy.
So, but yeah, I was even pretty conservative when it came to that. Cause I knew all the places like Subway had veggie and cheese. That's a regular menu item. Blimpy was a thing back then and they had a really good veggie and cheese. D'Angelo's, where I worked at for a little while, aka Dangelo's, they had a good one. So I didn't even, outside of the McDonald's Burger King switcheroo and the Taco Bell Mexican pizza, I didn't even do a lot of that.
No, I would get the Subway, the hack at Subway was that I think the bologna sub was like, $3.90 and the veggie cheese sub was $4.
Yeah.
So get the bologna and have them hold the bologna.
And that was, again, that was also back when Subway only had three vegetables. Now you can get veggie and cheese and there's a whole desk
of
vegetables.
You get a freaking salad on top of the
bologna. Yeah.
This is just an outline of how tough it was. We actually had a couple of vegetarian restaurants in Albany.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is well known for sucking. It was called Mother Earth's. Did you ever get to try Mother Earth's?
No, I never went to Mother Earth. I went to that other one that was there that also sucked.
Shades of Green.
Yeah.
Shades of Green was an order of magnitude better than Mother Earth. Mother Earth was so bad that they had one of those like wide ranging menus, but it was all garbage. And one time I went there and ordered their vegetarian sandwich and they gave me two slices of bread with a block of tofu in the middle. Like it was a cartoon. Like it was in a SpongeBob SquarePants episode or something like that. It came out like a wiggling block of tofu.
Oh, well, that's so gross.
Unadorned. And I'm like, they brought this out to me. I'm like, holy shit. And I actually like, this is like further like a movie. I said to the waitress, I was like, can I get something for this? Like ketchup? Do you have any barbecue sauce or anything like that? And she said, hold on. She went back and she asked the guy. The guy came out and yelled at me. Like the guy who ran the place, he was like this frazzled, picture the 80s version of the guy who would run a vegetarian restaurant. He was like a frazzled old man with a beard. And he came out. He's like, why do you want barbecue sauce on your vegetarian burger? So I got yelled at for wanting to have something adorning. So that's the shit you put up with when you were a vegetarian in the early 90s before the...
Nothing get too off track with vegetarian shit, but... I live near the Chicago Diner, which is a place that has been a vegetarian diner since I think like 1976 or something like that.
Yeah.
I can't even fucking imagine what their menu looked like back then. Like it would have probably been tofu on bread, like lima beans, just like real gross shit. Lentils probably, just the worst shit. And I'm always searching to see if I could find like one of their old menus or something. I might just email them and ask, but yeah, I don't even know what vegetarian places served because it was pretty shitty in the 90s. So I can't even imagine what it was like in the 70s and 80s outside of California, because like California has been known to have those like cultish vegetarian restaurants for forever, but not the Midwest or the East Coast. That's for sure.
Well, I certainly remember that there was, there's a couple places down in New York City that were legendary. Like
Vegetarian Paradise.
Vegetarian Paradise. And there was like a Chinese place like the Cricket.
That's Vegetarian Paradise.
That's what it is. I thought there was one that had a name like Red Grasshopper.
Red Panda.
I think
it's Red Panda, yeah.
And it like this place, like people would just whisper about it. They'd be like, oh, you need to go down to the Red Panda sometime. They have like a chicken wing that's on a fake bone. It's like like they simulate duck meat.
Yeah.
They do it like you'd never even know you're eating vegetarian. You probably weren't. I don't know what the place was like. They're probably just giving you meat. But this place, it's three or four hours away from where I live. It's not even remotely convenient. And people would still like get in their cars and drive down there just for a meal because it was such a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
To get that kind of food elsewhere.
It might not be red. Oh, Red Bamboo. I'm sorry. I don't know. That's it. Red Bamboo. I'm so racist. Yeah. Red Bamboo.
Why did I think it was Red Grasshopper or Red?
Yeah. We're all racist. We're just thinking of all the things, all the years on the Chinese zodiac.
Yeah. That's actually one of the grosser things that I used to do on the reg. Did you, when you were younger, did you eat like real nasty Chinese food?
Yeah.
So you know, our food.
Although court, I swear it was much better than it is now.
Oh, it's probably delicious. Yeah. Our food court, the Crossgates Mall is the big mall of my youth. It's where all the headbangers hung out, and it was like the food court. 80% of it is Chinese restaurants in disguise, or some sort of Asian restaurants in disguise. I think it's run by the same little cartel of people, and it's been the same people since I was a kid. They're still there now, and they all stand. And this probably happens in other malls or whatever, but they the only mall around here where they do this, they stand in the food court handing out free chicken all day.
Yeah,
same people, same guy standing there day in, day out. Doesn't matter what time of day I showed up, that poor son of a bitch was standing there saying, try free sample, try free sample, try free sample, giving out free chicken all friggin' day long. Since I was like, this is 25 years or something like that. This guy's still, and I can go there now. He's still there handing out free chicken. And, you know, there's two or three of them or whatever that do it for the different places. And one of the things that they served was just the regular old sweet and sour chicken. But that red sauce, the sweet and sour sauce, was like Jell-O.
Yeah.
Like it stood up like proud from the plate. It was like a shimmering, shaking pile of, we called it the vile red goo. And we would get in our cars and go to get it. I don't know why. It was never good, but it's like, oh, let's go get some vile red goo.
Two things. First, I would even say that the stuff they serve at Chinese takeout places in like New York City and stuff like that is even more gelatinous than the Crossgate stuff. But like Scott said, there's malls all over the country that did this where they'd have the shitty Chinese place, but he is not exaggerating. There was like four of these stores
right. On
the skies. There was a Panda Express, which is what always made me think that Panda Express wasn't a standalone thing. I think they just had the same name. It was called Panda Express. I'm not making that up.
No,
right?
They had a name that was like that. I don't know if it was exactly, but it was definitely like they had just taken that name, but it wasn't the Panda Express.
It's like Panda Garden or something. Yeah, yeah. But I swear to God, there was a Panda Express in like Colony Center or something. But anyways, and then there was one that was pretending to be like a barbecue place.
Yeah, it was a Cajun place.
Then there was like two of those, it was all the same red goo though, wasn't right. And there was multiple menu items, which was because they had the sesame chicken and then the orange chicken, and it was all like with the sesame one, you would get the sesame seeds in it, and the orange one, it would just be an orange peel in it, but it was all the same shit. And I got that food not too long ago, and I was still like, man, this brings me back.
It's gnarly, and the chicken is gnarly. It's like, there's like grizzle and fingernails and whatever, but we swore by that stuff. But at the time, it was the best chicken you could get in the food court, because the other thing was like the Long John Silver's, the chicken plank. Yeah. One of the bad habits that we formed early on that we didn't shake for a long time is that we started, we did the swamp juice thing. Everyone does that, the suicide, whatever you call it, where you just, you run the whole fountain. And we did that routinely, and then we kept doing it. And then we were like, it wasn't even a joke anymore. Like, that's what we drank. You went out to a restaurant, and if there was a fountain, we drank everything in the fountain every single time. And then started mixing and matching and coming up with little, we didn't talk about it. We weren't joking around. We weren't doing ironic things. We were like making our own little recipes for the swamp juice. It's never good. Like, you've done this before, right? It's just.
Yeah, it's after a while, it loses. It just tastes weird, basically.
It's like it tastes like bubblegum and root beer. Like you basically end up with some variation of like a bubblegum flavor, and it doesn't matter what things you mix. If you mix a couple of sodas up, you end up with like a bubblegum and a root beer flavor. And for probably like a whole 2 years, that's what we drank. We would just go to places and we'd have like opinions. Oh, if you mix this and you mix that, you get like a better version of this. And if you mix, Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, Sprite, and whatever, it was like a disgusting habit that we'd ask the guy behind the counter if we didn't have access to the thing itself, like, hey, can you mix
that's orange? Obnoxious.
Yeah. Yes. We asked this guy.
I do live in Chicago now, who's famous for having mixed up popcorn, so maybe you're onto something.
When I was a little bit younger, we had a failing mall, but it'd been around for a long time, and it holds a place in my heart, but it was called Northway Mall. And they had a whole store called Colonel Poppin'.
Oh man, I remember. Was that one of the ones that would give you the flavored pop, like the weird flavored popcorn?
Like it was all rainbow colored. So those bags and bags of all, and the colors corresponded to something, I guess. But it wasn't. They weren't colors that would make any sense. So it was just a whole rainbow of giant bags of popcorn, and that's all this store did. Roadhouse.
Oh no, I'm thinking of the places. I think there was one in Cross Gates. There was definitely one in Connecticut Mall where I grew up. But the ones that did, like, they would be like lime green, and it would be a lime green flavored popcorn.
Right, but I mean, there probably was some that were just like, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day or whatever. Like there was something like that. But this was like a full retail store. That almost like one of those candy stores or whatever, and they was just piled high with different flavors of popcorn. And it wasn't like, you know, that sounds like something that would happen on like a boardwalk.
Yeah.
You know, that would work well in a resort town or something like that. This was just in the corner of the terrible mall next to the place that sold like dream catchers and knives. So the thing that I did you have like cheapskate schemes, like places that you knew you could get almost free food if you were really on the desperate tip?
I learned all that when I was in Albany, so I was already getting too old to be doing this stuff. But yeah, there would be the bomber's trick where you could get instead of tofu fries, you would get chips and fries, and it was like $2 cheaper, $3 cheaper, so you'd get like a whole meal for $2.
Yeah,
you could get the $1.08 love plate from Amazing Wok, which was just white rice and black sauce or brown sauce for $1.
Yeah. Yeah, there was actually where I went to college. They had the only thing that was in town was two Chinese places.
Yeah,
like that. They said they had a fancy Chinese place and a takeout Chinese place, both run by the same family. And when you were on very hard times, you'd go in and you'd buy the 75-cent rice.
Yeah,
and the 8-year-old girl that worked there would give you the worst stink eye. She would like look at you like, "What? Where are you in life, man? Like, what? Why can't you do better than this?" But my number one.
This is a culinary secret, retro food ghoul secret for you guys out there. Mm-hmm. There is no, don't take any shame and just go to a Chinese place to buy white rice, because not only is it the best thing on the menu, but it saves you a bunch of time, and it's still like $1. Like it's never gone up.
No, it's fine. But my actual number one scheme, it actually ties back into the BK veggie. You know, you could go like this would happen in a few places, but the best place to do it was Roy Rogers. A lot of places would sell you the hamburger bun for 10 cents. So you could do the BK veggie thing on your own. But the cool thing about Roy Rogers is they had the condiment bar.
Yeah.
And it was basically free. Like you didn't have to buy anything. You would just go there and like sit down to a plate of pickles and like lettuce and some, like a free salad. It's a salad bar.
It
was totally free. So you could go up and you could buy the 10-cent bun, and it would come buttered and toasted. Like way too much work for 10 cents. They did – it went well and beyond the dime, the slim dime that you handed them. And then you could sit down and load that up with all of the free vegetables and condiments that you could imagine. I'll bet you could still do this.
Yeah, they still have the fix-ins when you could find the Roy Rogers. They still have them.
Yeah. It's free. This is basically – this is news you can use. So this episode alone, I've given you an Xbox – I've given you free food. I don't know what the fuck else I can do, but that was my like far and away. It was the only reason I ever looked forward to getting on the thruway.
Yeah,
there's no other reason.
Get that fixin's bar.
Yeah, get the fixin's bar.
I did think of a couple things. Go for it. First off, these were simpler times when I was a little boy. So now I think if a parent did this, they would go to jail. But there was definitely a time in my life where I think like I had an apartment, like my mom had an apartment, and something happened where we had to leave, and we moved in with her boyfriend, but they lived like kind of far away from where my school was, but we couldn't transfer until like the end of the school year or some shit. I don't know. It was some complicated story no one cares about. Yeah. But basically what I'm getting at is that my mom would send me to school every day with Twinkies and I think Yoo-hoo, and that was my breakfast every day, which is like, I mean, I was in love with it, but like I said, I think if you did that as a parent today, you would go to prison. Like you don't think you could give a kid Twinkies, and it might even been Twinkies and soda, to be honest. Yeah. But and the other thing, which was
that relates to that, but this is the reason that I know that the recent comeback of Crystal Pepsi is bullshit. You know, they put the Crystal Pepsi they put out.
Mm-hmm.
Every day for work, when the original Crystal Pepsi came out, I was working at Price Chopper, and every single day that I worked, which was every day of the week, I would buy one of those little 25 cent grenades of Crystal Pepsi.
And are you sure you worked at Price Chopper when Crystal Pepsi was out?
Yeah.
Wasn't like Crystal Pepsi out when I was like 6 years old?
Yeah, I'm 40. I was 40 at the time.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know we had that such a huge age difference. So you probably smoked Luke cigarettes on your breaks at Price Chopper.
So I'd get a Luke cigarette. And I'd, no, but it was like in the same spot. I don't know what it was. There were just these promo items. And there would be a pack of those chocolate donuts, you know, the chocolate covered cheap donuts that you could still get to
this day. Yeah, I hate those. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But that was it. That was like what I could get for lunch because it was 50 cents to eat this extraordinary feast of Crystal Pepsi. And, And that bin of Crystal Pepsi for a quarter lasted well past the actual Crystal Pepsi promotion. Yeah. So it was probably a whole year. And like those flavors are intertwined in my brain completely. They're inexorable. Like that you can't, that they're completely intertwined. So if I eat one of those donuts now, I exactly remember what Crystal Pepsi tastes like.
Oh my God.
New Crystal Pepsi, no fucking way. It is not the same shit. It doesn't taste anything like the chocolate donut, companion of my youth.
That also reminded me before what I told you is that when I worked at a gas station overnight, I would just go into work at like 9 or 10 p.m. I wasn't like 27. I was fucking 19 or 18 or whenever I did this. So I was still on of age to be able to do this. But yeah, I would just eat like two honey buns and a pack of, because they were two for a dollar, and either a two for a dollar peanuts or like two for a dollar hot peanuts. And that was basically like my nighttime dinner for quite a while. So, go on.
It makes you burn so badly because I used to eat a lot of those Star Crunch. Star Crunch, even to this day, I bet if you can find one, it's a quarter.
Yeah.
And that, you know, on other hard times when it wasn't Taco Bell times, it was much leaner. And I'd be driving around putting like $1.50 worth of gas into my 82 Subaru. Star Crunch got me by. That was it. But you know, eat too many of those and it builds a film.
Because that cheap chocolate. That's not the only thing. There might not even be cocoa in it. No. I guess the biggest one I have, and I don't think this is gross. I want to get your opinion on it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you think it's gross. I think this is a normal thing. But it has to do with ranch dressing, which is gross. That is true. And I don't otherwise eat ranch dressing.
I'm going to stop you there.
I don't otherwise eat ranch dressing. So it's not like I get to do this too often. I usually only get to do it if I'm maybe at my mom's house, they have gallons of ranch dressing there. But I usually don't have it on hand. But I swear to God, Stouffer's French bread pizza and some ranch dressing, that is a meal, man. That is the best combination for frozen pizza, I think.
No, that's gross.
Salad dressing dippers, let us know out there.
From Kankakee to Kokomo, along comes Luke, moving free and slow. He takes 4 foot strides, and he's lean and he's tall. And at a ball game, or in a dance hall, or in a bus station, or a train depot, along comes Luke, moving free and slow. He can be shooting craps, or playing pool, having a beer on an old bar stool, a hotel porch, wondering where next to go. Along comes Luke, moving free and slow. Drinking coffee in an all-night diner, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, high in the Smokies, in the wind and the snow. Along comes Luke, moving free and slow. He likes his women every now and then, but settling down just ain't for him. This guy called Luke really gets around, and ain't nothing on earth gonna tie that man down. That's why anywhere in this old land you go, along comes Luke, moving free and moving slow. Along comes Luke, along comes Luke. Long time. along comes Luke, moving free and moving slow. You're gonna see Luke one of these days, and you'll recognize him when he comes your way. Just about anywhere the four winds blow, along comes Luke, moving free and moving slow.